One thing you're going to have to get over is how to pitch yourself as a marketing service provider. And I'm going to teach you what you need to know.
This podcast is sponsored by AI Copywriter in a Box. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN, and you can use the AI Copywriter for up to 4 different clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes. Hey there, I'm Emily Reagan, and you found the Marketing Freelancer. This is the podcast for marketing freelancers and service providers who are already making an impact behind the scenes and want to take their skills, income, and business to the next level. Here, we're all about embracing the unicorn title, a full-stack marketer who can do it all, strategy, implementation, creativity, and everything in between. We're the magic makers who know how to deliver real results for clients and are ready to rise as sought-after marketing specialists. We're building a business we're proud of, working with dream clients with impact, and charging rates that reflect our work's worth. Unicorns unite.
Hey, welcome back to the Visibility Series. I'm your host, Emily Reagan, a fellow freelancer. This series has been dedicated to you stepping out and becoming more visible. And that means getting on stages. That means getting on podcasts. That means getting into groups and being seen as an expert, because that makes people want to refer you and book you. And the more synonymous your name becomes with a particular service, the better set up you are to be that booked out positioned expert, right? The one who can do the VIP days and charge a good chunk of money for the work that you do, that you do well. So yes, this is very meta. This is what we can help our clients do in the marketing world. I mean, the PR and the visibility crosses over to the marketing world. It goes hand in hand with what we're trying to do online when it comes to growing, scaling, and nurturing and selling to an audience, but we have to do it for ourselves too. And I did this. I can still remember the very first speaking gig where I was super nervous, but it happened with somebody asking me. Now, I'm a human design projector. I don't know if you've listened to that episode we've done with Danielle Laura, where we talk about human design. I am one of those people who naturally waits for the invitation. It's hard to put myself out there. And I have found that if I just show up as me and I do it in a way that's authentic and I just make a relationship with somebody first and then say, hey, if you ever need a guest speaker, I'm your gal, that always works out well for me. But I'm also a projector where I want to be that lighthouse for people come to me, and it doesn't always happen. Sometimes we need to put a little effort in to book those first speaking gigs totally free. Like, the podcast is a great place to start. Guest teaching in someone's community, great place to start as a freelancer, so that you get in those positions where then people are asking you. But you have to be able to say you've done it. It's going to start with you pitching. And so that's what we'll talk about today on this episode, which is great because my background is in PR. I used to do nonprofit and government public affairs and public relations. And this was very natural to me. I'm usually pitching other people to go do the story. I wasn't always the face of the place I worked for, right? But when you own your own business, when you're the freelancer, yes, we're the CEO and we need to spend time doing this. So starting with a goal of just booking one, booking two, making a couple pitches a month is a good way to prioritize this and keep yourself to it. And so I want to talk a little bit about what makes a great pitch. I want to talk about whether or not you should pitch yourself or have someone else do it, you know, really how to make a strong pitch work. But first, I want to share the story of how I got invited to speak at Amy Porterfield's stage, because this is what everyone's been asking. It's a great opportunity for me to tell you that it came from developing a long-term relationship. It wasn't just an overnight thing. And I think you need to understand that the moves you make now as a freelancer set you up, your future self up, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, even 5 years from now. So the goal is to start getting those media wins. I'm going to call them that. It's media, because media begets more media. One win, it just turns into this domino effect, starts another, and people start to see you everywhere. And then that's when they start asking. So I got asked to speak in Amy Porterfield's mastermind. And everyone's like, how did that happen? How did you pitch yourself? And truth, I have pitched myself for their podcast before. I had met their podcast manager a few years ago. I never got a yes, guys. I didn't get a rejection. I got no acknowledgement. But I've continued to show up in her community inside her membership Momentum, which FYI is a great place to find client work and just be a resource for people. I'm not in there schmoozy or pitching myself, or I'll just answer people's questions. I kind of come and go. I'll have moments where I'm active and a lot of moments where I'm not, especially over the last year or two. So showing up and having my name synonymous with hiring and contracting with teammates in the marketing department has become what I have been known for, right? I show up, I answer these questions, I share resources, I drop names, all free. Yes, it takes time and effort. When my kids are like, why are you on your phone? I'm usually doing some of those engagement things inside Facebook groups that I can do on my phone that I might not do when I'm sitting down at my computer. So being active in the group, but I also made a relationship with somebody on her team 5 years ago, And it was never a schmoozy, like, I just want in so I can get in with Amy, not at that at all. And so she's just been watching me in the background. And this is a story of a fellow sister provider or another teammate referring the right person, which is exactly what we're doing inside the work group, right? We are becoming known for our service, our niche, our specialty. And then we're talking to other people to do the work to help us out. And so the goal is, hey, you need a launch assistant? Hire Susie. You need active campaign help? Get Janelle. You need graphic design? Talk to Allison. You need a sales page? Talk to Heather. You need bookkeeping? Here's Claudia. That's what's happening. I gave a lot of examples because I just started thinking of so many unicorns in our community. And that's what happens across teams too. Every day on my Voxer, in my circle, in all my masterminds, in my Facebook groups, who do you know that does this? And so when it came time to Amy presenting her mastermind, surveying them, I'm going to assume, finding out what their holes were, what they needed help with, they all need help hiring. Who's the first person they think of? I'd already taught inside her community. She'd brought me up on a Facebook Live before, very spontaneously. And I was so freaking nervous, but I talked about working with a VA. And here's the thing. Amy has a best friend who runs a VA agency who she's had on the podcast multiple times. Like, why did she come to me? Because I am known for the upper level marketing manager, project manager role that her students, her mastermind members needed. So my name showing up consistently for years when I thought no one was looking, being very clear on my message paid off. And I want you to see the longevity of that. So the people who are like switching all the time and getting bored with their message, no. Go back and listen to the last two episodes we have with Jen Liddy, Meg Yelaney, talking about what makes you unique, your brand voice, staying consistent is going to win. So I got reached out to and invited to come speak, to fly me out there, put me up in a hotel and talk to her group about what the audience needed, right? It wasn't about me. And so I didn't have to pitch myself. But I want you to know I pitched myself in the past. I felt like every time I pitched it, like right after that, she was already having that episode. Well, now I can come back. And they said I'll be on their show eventually. Come back and be a little bit more targeted, a little bit more specific. I'm not just talking about VAs now. I'm talking about marketing specialists, marketing managers. And so I'm in a better position because my messaging has gotten clearer than I would have been 2 years ago. I don't want to be known as VA. The VA coach. I'm the marketing manager coach. I'm the marketing assistant specialist coach. Okay, so our goal with this episode is to help you pitch yourself for podcast interviews, client opportunities, collaborations, anything visibility related, and not feel like you're some sleazy publicist, that you're just a taker, a user, that it's transactional, or freezing up and feeling like you have imposter syndrome. So this is the last episode of our visibility series. If you missed any of the previous ones, go back to the beginning. We talk a lot about speaking, podcasts, guesting, all good stuff when it comes to who you are as a freelancer. And sometimes, you know, these topics are very meta, like I said, because you turn around and we do this with our clients. If you wanted to pitch for your clients, I know someone who does 25 pitches a month and charges people $2,500. I have a CMO client I'm working with, and I have strategically pitched him to niche podcasts and gotten on ahead of our launch. And it makes me look really good, right? To be able to think like, how can we get in front of his audience? Now you, depending on what phase you're in, maybe you've done this before. Maybe you've gotten a win under your belt, and now it's time to be a little bit more proactive about it. But first, let's talk about the fear. I'm new. I'm behind the scenes. I'm not ready. I had all of those thoughts. I even had those thoughts going into Amy's talk. Why would she pick me? I mean, there's Adrian Dorson. There's Stacey Tuschel. There's so many people who talk about hiring teams, right? But they're all at this level. They're not talking about that topic she really wanted. And so here's how I reframed it and how I want you to. And I had to keep telling myself, it wasn't just like I tell myself once and I'm fine. I've seen what works from the inside. I'm in a privileged place of working with clients, talking with freelancers, and talking to my friends and knowing what everybody gets wrong. You have done the same. You are inside the services and the businesses. You are seeing what gets results, what doesn't work. You're solving real problems. You're in the prime spot to speak on something very tactical and technical. You don't need to write some fluffy talk on why you need to charge more or why you should believe in yourself. Like, you can skip all of that because you are the service provider who has the experience. And the cool thing is, to talk on a niche topic, you don't need a big following. Right? You have a strong point of view and a relevant story already. So really lead from the lens of, I'm a practitioner, I'm in the trenches, instead of saying I'm just getting started, especially if you carry previous experience to the table. Like, I bring my PR experience. Granted, it wasn't corporate, but I've had legit PR communication director experience. So I'm not just getting started. I'm bringing that to the table. And I have this new lens of the online space. So a good thing for you to say is, I've been helping clients behind the scenes, and I've noticed this. Do you have any ahas coming to your brain? I've been helping clients behind the scenes, and I'm noticing this. It's a great place to start and already positions you as a trusted voice. And again, going back to Jen and Megan's episodes, that will help you even more. How do I stand out? How am I different? What do I believe in? What do I stand for? Okay, so let's go into what makes a great pitch. Cut and paste pitches are dead. They're out. We skip over them. We don't open them. Anything that starts with, hope you are well, or I listened to your episode, copy paste in a different type font, slightly smaller. You can tell when it's copied and pasted. When they use a formal whole title of your podcast, you can tell when someone hasn't listened. Insert podcast title here, insert episode here. So what makes a great pitch, something you can already do well as a marketer, is personalization, relevance, and showing who you are. Right? You being you is your number one asset. So going into a pitch, the best thing you can do is research, listen to the episode. Struggling to raise your rates because your client's content creation is taking you forever? Clients pay more for strategy, but you're here drowning in the writing and the doing. When do you have time to think like a strategist? The digital marketers who are getting ahead are the ones who are using AI as their marketing superpower. That's where AI Copywriter in a Box changes everything. It's a fully customized AI writing tool that creates content in your client's voice so you can work fast, earn more, and deliver real results your clients will love. I use it in my business and with my clients, and it's helped me create high converting content in minutes without getting stuck in endless revisions. When you deliver faster, with better quality, you become the premium service provider clients cannot live without. Get $50 off with the code UNICORN, just for being a listener, and you can use the AI copywriter for up to 4 clients. Grab yours now. The link's in the show notes. Listen to episodes that are related to what you're going to talk about. Be able to reference those. Listen to the recent episodes to see what's new, what's happening. Go listen to the trailer. That's something I always do too. I have a hack. If this podcast is on YouTube, this is what I did with my client. I use that ChatGPT summarizing tool. If you DM me, I'll just send it to you. I love this tool because it just gives me the quick summary. It gives me the transcript, and I can easily go in and use that with ChatGPT to write a quick pitch once you have a template. The most important thing is you take time to understand their content, but understand their audience, because this pitch isn't about you. It's about their audience and how you will help them. And that's that whole insight of getting over ourselves. The easiest way to stand out in that pitch is to explain what the listeners, what the viewers, what the students, what the members will gain from listening to you and hearing you. I have had a lot of bad pitches. I try to save them, giggle over them. They're usually bros. They're usually promoting a book. I can tell when it's going to feel like a one-night stand, a transactional thing, especially if they say, like, I just discovered your show And it's like, I know you discovered it because you were researching for your client, for yourself. And so for me, just like it was with Amy's community, it is a long-term game. There's people who reach out to me. Actually, I love a DM pitch. I love when people are lazy about it. I actually pitched somebody and she said, I don't do podcasts anymore, but your pitch was so awesome because I made fun of myself for being lazy. She's like, it's a yes. Now I can't get her to book. When she finally books and does an episode with me, I'll let you know. I'll be really excited. But she's like, yeah, your pitch stood out because it didn't follow this copy paste format. Right? Now, some of those pitches work good for formal, like news editors, you know, some of those templates. I mean, you can have ChatGPT help you, but I think if you can go in with the insight of this episode of like what we're looking for, it'll just help you. And I hope it makes you feel like, yes, I can do this. Okay, one of the questions I get a lot, and this like is very reflective of our services, should I pitch myself or have someone else do it? I don't even listen to third-party pitches. I am not interested unless it's somebody super high level, super well-known. Then I understand. But if you can't take the time to talk to me as a podcast host, I don't want you on my show. So if you are writing pitches for your clients, send it through their email, their name, queue them up, have them send it. I think the third-party pitching is out. Sorry, my friends who do that. Sometimes like team whatever could work, but when I see anything coming from a publicist agency, I'm like not interested, not, that's not how I roll. The best insight here is even if someone helps you write it, you send it. You write it for your client sends it. Authenticity matters the most, and especially as a freelancer, like we don't want to act too high and mighty for our britches here. Again, there are some exceptions with very high-level people. So you can lean heavy into your results, what you're seeing, your niche, your unique observation. And you can even say, like, I know I'm not a household name, but I'm seeing this. I know it will help your audience. And it just kind of builds that humility and that credibility at the same time. There's nothing wrong with that. So I come from a journalism background. I've done a whole teaching about a pitch and, you know, the news elements that make a pitch good. So news editors are looking for content. They're drowning and they're always thinking ahead. They need good content. So everything we talk about also can be for an online publication, your local media. It's a great place to get some first media wins, especially if your client has a book coming out in a year. Do some of those local things now because you're prepping for the future. You're getting the training, you're getting the reps in now, you're building comfort, familiarity, so that, I don't know, if the Today Show called, they'd be ready, right? Like that's the kind of the game. It's a long-term game here. This isn't like a quick in and out game. So one of the best things with a pitch is for news elements. There's five core new elements, but timeliness and relevance are like the big ones, right? And again, ties back to the audience, why they should care. So you want to tie your pitch into what their audience is interested in, what they need, how they're in pain. And so the newsworthy elements of human interest, controversy, like those all work too. Physicality, like something close. Like if I was pitching myself for Richmond, I would need to tie it into why people in Richmond need to hear this. It would be an easier yes from an editor because it's locality. And you can use storytelling, testimonials, any kind of client results to show your point here, right? And data is really good. I've written some pitches for people who are like, oh, you know, 12% of the population has this undiagnosed, or such a bad example. I'm so bad with examples on the fly. But like if you can lean in to data, or you can do something called newsjacking where it's like it's already in the news cycle right now. Let's piggyback off it and add to it. Now for podcasts, you have to watch out because a lot of podcast hosts work ahead of time. They have a plan. Like my podcasts are booked out through September. And I have a plan and I'm not really accepting pitches, but I'll file them away for later. And so, like I said, this is an overnight thing. Like do the pitches now so that when people come back, maybe it's January, they start booking again. Like you are in there as a story idea. So it might not always be a complete no. It might not be a yes right now, but it really legit could be something we want to do later because people are busy. We're tapped out. We have other things and podcasts aren't always well monetized for a lot of us little guys. Like it's top of funnel for me. I'm not making money. You don't hear ad networks on here. You don't hear a lot of sponsors on here. But I tell you, oh my gosh, it's so interesting when I start sharing that my podcast is in the top 1%, like the sharks come out. Suddenly everyone's interested in me and wants to pitch me. And like, I'm hyper aware of that. Like I know that. I see that. I just feel like I'm a vehicle for them instead of helping me. So how can you make it newsworthy? Do you have to tie your pitch into something bigger, something relevant? And you can use examples from recent marketing shifts. You can talk about meta changes, launch trends, like especially if it's like new. Podcast hosts will be excited to talk about. We don't want to just have the same guest talking about the same thing. It just feels, it's like the same old, same old. It's like the same person just getting passed around. I don't want that. I want my place to be somewhere like new and forward thinking. Okay, so the anatomy of a strong pitch, which FYI, inside the work group, we have a training on this. We have trainings on speaker bios, speaker sheets, pitching, all of that, and podcast guesting. And you take that template and run with it. Sometimes it just helps us like move from paragraph to paragraph. What you don't want to do is make it really long and impersonal. You need to stand out. And even the subject line needs to stand out, because just seeing something that's like podcast guest idea, no, I'm not interested. But that actually might work for an editor, like a story idea, like they might open that. But as a podcast host, I'm not going to open that because I feel like I'm going to get a really lame pitch. Okay, so personalized intro. Why their show? Show that you have listened. Show that you're a fan. Don't lay it on too thick, but be yourself. Then we get into really like who you are. I've worked with 100 clients. I've worked with these type of clients. Like I have a background in this. I've written this book. I've had this many students. I've made this much in sales. I just set up a revolutionary new system. I have a method. All of that really works. And then you go into your topics. And you want to give like a couple examples, like not just one. I find it better if you can say like, I know you covered this in a previous episode, but I'd love to expand on that and go deeper into this area if you think that would help your audience. But I'm also open to talking about this, this, and this. And tie it into why now. And then, of course, at the end, you want to like just let me know if this is a great idea. Either way, happy to make a connection with you. Like I like a soft pitch, not a hard pitch. Like, when can we book? That's a hard, like shitty pitch. Like that's a hard sale. No, that turns me off. You can always say like, hey, here's why I think this would really resonate with your audience. And you can always have a couple bullet points too of some value there. So if you're in the work group, go look at the pitch template we have over there. You can use ChatGPT to zhuzh it up. You don't have to have all of that in there. Sometimes the shorter, the better, but don't make it too long. Don't make it dry. Make sure it's formatted to skim, because we all are going to skim first, just like a landing page, and then we're going to go back and read the finer details. Here's where the magic happens, the follow-up. 80% of people don't bother to follow up. Only 20% do. And that's why they say the fortune's in the follow-up, right? Or is it fortune favors the bold? I am so bad with those sayings. But you have to follow up. Hey, just bumping this to the top of your inbox. I still love your show. I know things get busy. You can have an email tracker that tells you if somebody read it. If I were a pitching agency, I would do that. If I were going heavy into PR pitches, other media pitches, I would do that. But a lot of us business owners, myself included, are busy. Like I am not good at managing my inbox. It's like burning fire, burning fire, burning fire. Get to that later. So treat that follow-up like a service, because you're helping them find a great expert, a great topic, and you're not like begging for attention. You're just reminding them. And it's not a no until they say it's a no. And so I encourage you to think about, what could I talk about? What have I experienced in this online space? What am I seeing with my services? And turn that into a pitch. I would love for you to carve out 15 minutes and write down some areas you could talk on. One of my first speaking gigs, and you're welcome to steal this. Well, I think I told you the first one, I walked through Google Analytics. I'm like, here's four stats you need to be able to find in your analytics. And it was great because it applied to everyone. Everyone was a creative. Nobody was techie. They needed to know this stuff for marketing. Very technical. I way overprepared. I was so sweaty about that. And like that audience... This is a marketing podcast. I can share this with you. They were kind of dumb. Like I didn't need to get all that hot and bothered. My second big speaking gig was five things I did to help my client make money. Like basically that was when the topic of revenue streams and ways to monetize was really hot. And I just did it from the angle of me, of what I've seen. First, we did this, then we did this, then we did that. So if you've had a big client result, what are the steps that you did to get there? And you can do it without sharing with the client. Now, that first speaking gig, the client actually invited me because everyone was asking her and she wanted to help them, but she didn't want to teach it. And that's kind of exactly what happened with Amy. Everyone's asking her, who do I teach? Who are the roles? What do I look for? And Amy said, you know who's a better person for this? Emily. And she did that a couple years ago when she did that Facebook Live and brought me in. You know who's a better person to talk about this? Emily. Like, that's the goal for you. What do you want to talk about? I've done TOPS, like 5 things to set your launch up for success. I mean, it wasn't that lame, but it was something similar. 5 things you can hand off to your teammate during a launch. Think about what you're doing and where you're seeing success. And don't forget to follow up. As scared as you are, it's just like applying for a job. You got to follow up, right? It shows that you want it, that you actually care. So you have stories to tell. You've got data. You've got the inside track. And now it's like taking the time. I think this is where we all suffer the most, to think through it. And then where could you start? So if you are a VA who helps with a lot of courses, go look for those business coaches who are teaching courses. There's a lot of good podcasts. Go look at my press page. Look at the shows I've been on and pitch yourself for some of those because you know they have guests. You know they're looking for that type of tactical content. Like, we need to call that a word. It's not newsjacking, but it's like guest jacking. I do this a lot. This is my secret trick. Go look at the press page, the speaking page, and write down those podcasts. Do your stalking. Pick 3 that you could be on. And I love to start with baby podcasts. They don't need a lot of reviews. You want one that has had more than 10 episodes. Most people, I think, fade out at like 9 episodes. Make sure the podcast is still running. A lot of people are quitting podcasts right now. And be intentional about that. Work your way up to Entrepreneur on Fire or whatever. Like, that's not going to start right away. With my client, I started with very niche podcasts. I knew they would be a yes. I just had to nail the topic. And so the pitch was about that. Like, you have not had somebody talking about that. You just had this guy explaining this. This client can come on and talk about this further. And that worked. It was so easy. It was so low key. And I love the DM pitches. I love that. Hey, you need somebody to do this? Like, oh my gosh. That just makes it so much easier on me and like less awkward. But I'm also that projector, right? Showing up and pitching is how you stop being just the person behind the scenes. This is how you start owning your expert lane. So if you like this show, make sure you hit subscribe. I have more good ones coming. I know the visibility series is ending, but there's more good episodes. I encourage you to write one pitch for yourself. Even if you don't know who it's going to go to, just based on your expertise, based on what you did last month, based on what you've done this year, and then write a list of potential podcasts. I think that's the best place to start. And, you know, if that feels like too much, you can do a guest blog if you want to go down the SEO route. I do have Laura Jawad coming on the show to talk about SEO and what you need to be doing as a service provider later in the summer. So you could steal that and like pitch yourself to guest blog if that feels hard. And honestly, talking to your current clients is a great place to start because you already have that trust, right? You don't grow if you don't ask. And this is just how you get started. Thank you for tuning in. I'd love for you to DM me and tell me your takeaway. Report back to me once you've written the pitch, and I'm going to be your cheerleader. And if you're not already in the Digital Marketers Workgroup, we're taking applications. I would love to have you there. This is where you find the top tier clients. This is where you get pushed to do new things like podcast guesting. All right, I'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to The Marketing Freelancer. If you're ready to connect with other marketing freelancers, learn advanced strategies, and take your business to the next level, check out our Digital Marketers Workgroup. It's my exclusive membership where you'll find the support, community, and tools to land premium clients and grow your income. Visit marketersworkgroup.com to learn more or just use the link in the show notes. Apply today. Step into your power, own your expertise, and command the rates your work deserves. See you next time on The Marketing Freelancer. Unicorns unite.
My nose gets so itchy when I do a talk. You should have seen my nose right before Amy's talk. And when she does, I'll tell you. Oops.